Kia ora, ko Ruben Raj Aho, and welcome to the Bad Monkey Music Show. This is episode 14, and the Bad Monkey is proud to be part of the Radio 13 Music Collective. So find out more about us at radio13.co.nz. As always, we are broadcasting live today from the Sky Tower in Auckland on 104.6 FM and streaming live via planetaudio.org.nz. Now, last Sunday, DJs Roger, Bowie and Boily from the Radio 13 Collective joined the Bad Monkey to trade stories and music of Alice Cooper. So check out Radio 13 on Facebook or planetaudio.org.nz for a link to that particular podcast. And don't miss the godfather of shock rock, Alice Cooper, when he comes to New Zealand. 20th of February, Truss Arena in Auckland. 22nd of February, Horncastle, Dunedin. I think so. Christchurch, yes. Apologies for that. But tickets to both shows can be found at Ticketek. Now, today is a different kind of show, because today we go dark. We're going to talk about the artists and the bands and shows that really failed to impress in 2019 so far. So joining me today in the studio, the Bad Monkey Music Show, is happy to welcome Sam Smith.
Kia ora, Ruben. How's it going?
Hey, very well, very well. I am very happy. This is kind of like your first time
it
here.
Is. I've never been here before, and it's great to be here.
Excellent. Well, to the station itself and also on the show. Mm. Well, as we were talking, this is a little bit different from your usual neighborhood in BFM,
yes,
right?
Yes, so I'm a DJ at 95 BFM Radio, so yes, this is a bit more cleaner, I guess you could say.
Well, this has history, but the history is not as visual,
no,
as it is in BFM.
Yes, less scribbles on the walls and stickers everywhere and stuff.
Yeah, well, you definitely got that old school student radio
definitely
vibe,
yes,
happening,
yes,
in BFM.
Yes.
And you also have a music site called
Nowhere Bros is my music blog, and you can just find it on Facebook and wherever I post on social media.
Excellent, excellent. And you are, thankfully, a regular contributor to Radio 13 as well.
Yes,
you,
yes,
write shows for us, right?
Yes, and I do album reviews as well.
Yep. Excellent. And very consistently. And I owe you that review of Brittany Howard's.
Yep. Coming right up.
It's definitely coming right up. So we've got to keep an eye to our listeners out there on Radio 13. Now, a regular, I think, now on my shows is Chantel. How are you doing?
Good. You?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. And how about yourself? You just came back from the UK, I think.
Yeah, so.
You need to speak closer to the mic.
Sorry. I put it right in my face, sorry.
There you go. Tell us a little bit about the UK. What did you see? You went to Reading, right?
Yeah, I went to Reading Festival. So, yeah, Thursday to Sunday.
Okay.
Me, my tiny tent, and 33 degree weather. So, kind of summer.
It doesn't sound bad.
Oh, it was hot.
Okay.
It was hot, and then, yeah, I wasn't really expecting it to be scorching, but that's fine. And the music was amazing, obviously.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So good.
What was any highlights? What stands out?
The main stage, obviously, was... It's, like, insane, because obviously we have small festivals here.
Right.
So I've only really been to, like, Homegrown, La-Di-Da, which is, like, a New Year's one, so I don't know if that really counted for me back then. And then, like, Laneway. So the stages are really small and the productions are a lot smaller. They're still big for us.
Yeah.
But Reading, when you've got this like huge stage and there's like four screens.
Excellent.
And you've got this like the entire population of Auckland is at this festival right now.
Right.
Insane. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Any bands that stand out?
Yeah.
Performances?
I really like Pale Waves.
Pale Waves were playing. Okay.
Yeah,
so I remember them playing at Tuning Fork.
So they played the Tuning Fork here and they played, I think it was a BBC Radio 1 stage or the tent, and then bands like Patent Pending, who are from New Jersey, came.
Okay.
So bands that I haven't seen since Soundwave, because they don't come here because we're too small.
Right, or far.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. All right. So it was amazing.
And how about London? You spent some days in London as well, right?
Yeah, some days in London, because I stayed in Cambridge, which is about like an hour-ish by train, so that was...
That's good.
Like, I love the architecture and the history.
Yeah, Cambridge is lovely.
Yes,
and you had good weather too, so that's a bonus. That's a bonus.
It didn't rain the whole time.
Ooh. That doesn't sound like the UK.
I know.
All right, well, As I said to both of you, this is where we're going to talk about gigs, artists, bands, kind of like when, you know, didn't really stoke our fire. So I'm going to start off with an artist that played here earlier this year. So let's check it out.
Since we separated, I've been suffocated, oh yeah. All the empty space in my head, at first I felt liberated by it. But solitude is overrated. The other day I swear someone said, someone else is sharing your bed. Maybe you picked up where I left, and now my heart is sinking. I don't know what I've been thinking. I turned a strong memory, I threw him down, brought him to his knees. I'm hoping somehow he'll forgive me.
Lily Allen. So I saw her play February in the Spark Arena, but really there was no spark. That's the thing about her show. I mean, I saw Lily when she started out, right when she was what, maybe 10 years old, older now, and she was full of mischief. She had this presence. She was naughty. And when I saw her in Spark, she kind of felt out of place. It was like, you know, I'm here, a little bit of sass, but yeah, she didn't feel connected. I mean, did both of you go to that show?
No.
No.
Was it like at the end of a tour? Or was it?
I don't.
Because sometimes artists come here at the end of a tour and you get the impression they could be anywhere else.
Yeah. They can like so drain, right?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's that. I don't think so. Or is it just the life of an aging pop star?
I think because it was it before or after her book came out?
Not sure. Okay. Not sure.
Yeah,
but this was definitely after, just after her new album.
She had
album
a break from music for quite a few years.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
Had children and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I saw videos. Yeah. And I sort of agree. I was like, oh.
I mean, when you look.
Was she okay? She all good?
Yeah, right. I mean, even the music, she wanted to do more collaborations with, I think, more the hip-hop kind of thing.
Yep.
Which I think didn't really work. I mean, who was this? Burna Boy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, who collaborates with quite a few other artists in the UK.
Yep.
Who seem to kind of make it. But with her, kind of like lukewarm. I don't know. Ooh. And again, on stage, I felt she was, out of place.
Is Spark Arena too big for her?
Well, it was, if I remember correctly, I think it was half stage.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't a full stadium.
Okay. That's always false for me, when they only have a half.
Yeah.
Not three quarters, but when it's a half spark, it always falls flat for me.
Why?
There's just something about a half spark that's just sad.
Half a spark.
Half spark. It's just the lighting just never really works as well for a half spark.
Half spark.
And
okay.
Sound sometimes is a bit off, so I'm always like, why don't you just do Logan Campbell or maybe two power stations.
Oh, let's not even go to Logan Campbell.
next time we should do a show of our least favorite venues.
That could be it. Well, it's funny that you say half spark, but I think for Lily Allen, it was no spark for me. So I know I'm harsh, but you know, Lily, I hope you do better next time. So let's see what's on the next list here. Oh, this one's your pick, Shawnee.
Can do, whispering words to me, though we're miles apart. I feel you start going to work on me. Another cigarette.
So this is UB40, and this is UB40 without Ellie Campbell.
And which
track from? This is a track from their latest one without Ellie Campbell. It's called You Haven't Called. So I think this might have been playing at the festival that you went to, yeah?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah, so I covered a festival in Napier. So it's part of like the summer series in Napier. So like what Taupo does. So
okay.
The same thing. Napier has it at Church Road Winery. And I didn't realise that the other person was not in the band.
Campbell brothers and all
yeah, so I don't follow them very much. So right. So maybe that's why.
Okay.
It was just like there was something missing, and obviously now I know what it was.
Okay.
But so the only reason I covered it, one, because nothing ever happens in Napier. And I was living there at the time. And then two, everyone was like, UB40 is so good. They're so amazing live. It's going to be amazing. You have such a great time. And I was like, yeah, okay. I've got nothing else to do on a Friday, so like, I guess I'm going.
I think UB40 are responsible for barbecue reggae.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my review, that is what I said. I literally said it was just like, I could have, had them, like the guys over.
Right.
And they could have just played in my parents' backyard. And we could have had a barbecue, and it would have felt
much more
better.
Connected. Okay.
And much more, I think it's also maybe the venue, because it's massive. It's Church Road, so I mean, no one knows where that venue is, but it goes up a hill.
Okay.
And so you can be like on the bank and everything.
Oh, right. Okay. And you can look down into the stage, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
If you
okay.
like only want to pay like $70 instead of like $350 to be at the front. And it was just, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So maybe that's also why, because he wasn't there.
I mean,
and so
it's interesting because this band,
they're iconic.
The sound, they're iconic, and I think the sound of UB40 is spot on from the album anyway. Mm. But without the voice of Ellie Campbell, it's not.
Exactly.
They're now touring two versions of the same band,
exactly.
The Ellie Campbell version and the Robin Campbell version.
Oh,
that must be very confusing for people.
Oh, are they actually doing that? They tour too tight. Oh, wow, okay.
Yes, exactly. So you've got to be really clear.
There's a few acts that do that these days. Yes is another one.
Oh,
there's
is that
versions
right?
of Yes. Because people just fall out and they're like, I don't want to give up. I'll do my own thing with the same band.
I still need to eat.
Still exactly.
need my money.
Exactly,
And these days, I think you got to tour.
Oh.
If you don't tour, you don't make any money.
No question.
Touring is how you make the money. Yeah.
And some people need to stop, but they can't because, they'll end up on a benefit or something.
Rough.
Well, tell us more about the festival sound, though. I mean, in Napier, because we don't often go there. So overall, was it just this band that was a little bit disappointing, or it was all like that?
It was a little bit of just that band, because I think I did two, because I also did the Toto show there as well.
Oh, Toto was playing there as well.
Yeah,
oh, right,
the Serenes down in Africa, down there. Yeah,
okay,
so
okay.
like, you know how they...
I read a story from Steve Lukather. He hates playing that song.
Well, every white person there loved that he played that song.
I would think so.
Me included.
They paid for him to play that song.
Yeah, people have VIP just so they could be at the front just to hear that song. And you could tell.
It's become a meme.
But yeah, that venue and that concert series is, I feel like, a status thing to go to in Hawke's Bay.
That's sad.
Wow.
Mm. Yep, so, because nothing happens in Hawke's
Bay. Is it still the 1980s in Hawke's Bay?
ouch. But with festivals and stuff, yeah, it is. Because they start really early, like 5.
So you
get there like midday, bring your snacks, and if you've got VIP, you get free food and all that sort of stuff. And it's quite expensive for something that happens in Napier when all we have is like Splash Planet. And yeah, it's just, you could just tell that some people were there just to be seen to be there.
Right.
And I knew lots of people that I was like, what are you doing here?
Are we looking forward to AHA and Rick Astley?
Yeah. I want to be Rick Rolled live.
I am. Come on.
You got to, man.
80s nostalgia is alive and well.
Yeah,
it
man.
Is.
And they make sure they put them at the vineyards, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Church Road Winery is.
But I think if you time it where you get those bands that are not just touring year after year and doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
you kind of have that nostalgia feeling. But it's not really nostalgia if you see them every 2 years.
Yeah.
You know that sort
and
of
also,
thing?
People that like grew up with that music,
right,
they can actually afford to go to these expensive winery concerts, can't they?
Yeah, no, that's totally reason. So speaking about festivals, let's now go to another artist that failed to impress, and we can talk a little bit more about Laneway after this. Smith, Teenage Fantasy, and she was one of the acts in Laneway 2019 at Albert Park. And I was very looking forward to her performance. And when we were discussing about the artist that failed to impress, well, Sam Smith and I picked the same one.
Crazy.
Well, I'll let you start first, Sam.
Yeah, I was looking forward to seeing her as well because I liked her album and she's got quite a lot of credibility in a lot of places. And I just felt quite lukewarm about the whole thing. Like, I turned up there and it was almost like, I don't know, it lacked a bit of personality and just felt quite stale.
Yeah, me too. I felt she was very distracted. You know, she looked really like a deer caught in the headlights.
Yeah.
You know, and I have photographs in our review which showed that. Mm. She was just wide-eyed and sort of almost like, what am I doing here?
Sure.
She forgot a couple of her lines and at the start of a song, and she just kind of kept looking around and smiling and looked spaced out.
Interesting.
Because you were at Laneway as well, but did you go to that one?
So I wasn't there as press or anything.
Right.
So I saw her from the back, but like I don't want to put my two cents in because we had a lot of long lines before we went.
Okay.
And she was like sort of first, but no, I agree.
She was definitely in the earlier part of the
festival. Yeah, she was in the earlier part. I remember my friend really wanted to see her and we went and we were just like,
Right. I mean,
Sort of the back and it was like, because, yeah, I've heard, like, really good things from, like, Aussie people and they say she's really good.
Right.
And, yeah, her stage performance nice. And I was like, okay. And I just, yeah, there was something, especially if you can tell that from, like, all the way at the back of the crowd.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what it was like to, like, actually see her face, like, clear. Like, obviously, like, you were, like, right, probably.
But she's pegged as the modern Sade.
Yeah, exactly.
And she even dressed like Sade.
Big earrings and stuff.
Big earrings, yep. Hair sleeked back, right? Yep. And she's very pretty. Well, she looks, she's gorgeous. But yeah, she just failed too with her voice.
I didn't even stay for the whole thing.
Oh, that bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So you had another one as well from Laneway. You had a few.
I had Smino, the rapper, as well. And unfortunately for him, his set didn't start until about half an hour late.
Oh, that's always rough.
And I'm not sure what the situation was, whether it was a technical difficulty. We never actually managed to work that one out. I was about to leave, actually, and then finally got on the stage. And then it was a bit of a disaster. The performance was a bit all over the place, ragged and obviously late. And I was looking forward to seeing him as well because he's quite a talented up-and-coming rapper from Chicago. Mm. And it just was like, oh, dear. Yeah.
Do you think he was flustered because he started late?
Probably, yes.
So it just, yeah, he was like super nervous and probably.
Yeah, probably. But it looked that way because a half an hour delay to your set is quite...
Oh, it's massive. Yeah,
particularly because they can't push it back either. So
exactly.
You've got, like, what?
15 to 20 minutes to maximum to
wow
do
everyone.
Your thing.
Yeah.
It was basically you're hiding to nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was an artist I remember who was not late, who was actually on stage way early, was Yellow Days.
Oh, yeah, the British guy.
Yeah, British guy. Again, I wasn't really impressed.
Yeah, I'm not really into him.
And, I mean, he was actually preparing to support Florence and the Machine,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So I was very eager to see him before he goes to Spark and support Florence.
Was he another Coup de Main artist?
Ooh, okay, don't. Is he probably if he was supporting Florence, I would say, but I'm not sure.
He's an interesting one because
was he better? Did you see him with Florence?
No.
Oh,
I saw him with Florence again. No, it was just on a bigger stage. He was picked to be kind of like the new UK soul, right? That soul sound, and he played this teardrop type guitar, you know, with his really kind of. Yeah.
It's indie sad boy music, I like to call it.
Oh, indie sad boy. Actually, that fits very well.
Perfect. That's what it is.
That's perfect.
It's very popular right now. Yeah. Other people like that, Rex Orange County was also at Laneway. Yeah.
Yes,
they were really
right.
Good.
He's much better than Yellow Days.
Yeah, it's that definitely kind of, more colourful.
That kind of sound is quite popular at the moment.
Okay. Yeah,
with a lot of sort of 18 to 21-year-olds.
Yeah, that younger demographic. Yeah.
Right. So if you remember to Laneway 2019 earlier this year, what were the standouts then? I mean,
definitely for me, hands down, was Denzel Curry.
Yeah, Denzel, who kind of played.
I was in the mosh pit for that, and I swear I was fearing for my life. So he was fantastic.
He was bouncing, jumping all over the place, wasn't he? Yeah, really active.
Just trying to think who else. Oh, Parquet Courts were great as well.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Very energetic, very, very, very cool.
I thought Mitski was okay.
Mitski was good, yep. And also for a New Zealand act, High Beams were really good as well.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
Thunderdome, that's obviously...
Ah, yes, that's
Mellow Downs, Razor Beza and Il Baz.
Yes, that's right. Okay, that would have been good.
Yeah, they were good too. Yeah.
What did you catch that was highlights?
G-Flip.
Really?
G-Flip. Yeah.
I don't remember. Were they playing?
Yeah, she was playing.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you were in the pit for it.
No.
It was,
okay.
I think it was just three people.
Okay.
Yeah, she was like one of the first.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
maybe, you're right.
Like really early in the morning, like maybe like first or second act. And she was so good.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought they'd bring her back this year, but I know that, they don't normally bring people back again 2 years in a row, but.
Well, they do.
Unless you're Courtney Barnett.
Unless you're Courtney Barnett. Exactly, I was going to say that.
Yeah, some people they do, some people they don't, but it's refreshing not to have the same people back, I think, personally. Yeah. For a festival like Laneway.
I thought Gang of Four actually did a pretty raunchy rock sort of sound.
Gang of Four or Gang
Australian
of Youths?
Nice.
I'm sorry, Gang of Youths.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Gang of Four is
in the UK.
Very,
yeah.
Very different.
Very different. My bad.
Okay.
Gang of Youths, which were okay. And I thought Benny also, she played, she drew a big crowd.
And she's back this next year too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think bigger stage or same?
Probably.
Well, I guess. Or a better slot, maybe.
Maybe.
She should.
She's definitely grown quite a lot after that.
And she's added the letter to her name.
Yes, she has.
Extra E.
Yes. Just to kind of make sure people like me pronounce it correctly.
Well, people were calling her Bean. I think that's why she changed it.
I was going to call
her
Bene.
Yeah, but it's always been Bene.
It's always Bene.
People are saying Bean.
Bene.
Yeah.
Okay, so now tell us about Laneway 2020. So, your thoughts.
Where do we start?
The only upbeat person in this room, I think, is Chantel.
So, I'm excited because in 1975...
Again?
Don't say again. But yes, they are amazing, and yes, again. But it's a good lineup, obviously, but if you take the Laneway bit away and replace it with something else, it's still a good festival. It's just not very Laneway. The demographic is lower. All of these people have come within the past year or so, if you look.
Okay.
Like most of them have.
Yeah, most of them.
So
yep.
Last year, I was talking to people that actually Laneway is like their festival, like it's their thing, because Laneway isn't my festival. I just really liked it last year.
Right.
And yeah, they were just like, it's not, there's not many people that you've never, ever, ever heard of. And that's a whole, apparently, it's a whole thing of Laneway is discovering new, like, artists, new indie alternative artists a little bit, and giving those smaller people more exposure, whereas all those people have come before, so they're all going to already have sort of like a, they'll have a solid-ish fan base here.
Right.
And, yeah, I have heard a lot of bad things about 1975 headlining, just because they just sold out Spark Arena, so all their fans are going to come. Well, all their over-18 fans are going to come, so we'll, yeah, that's something that I've heard, negative and positive. I've heard a lot of people go, yay, I'm going to go to Laneway this year because they're headlining, and hopefully they discover some really cool artists that are on that lineup. But also, yeah, mixed messages about the lineup.
Yeah, pretty mixed.
I was just expecting a lot more, because I know those sort of bands and artists that have done very well overseas the last 12 months. And I always do a prediction kind of list before, and I not one single one of my predictions came through. Although I've got my fingers crossed that the second lineup announcement,
yeah, which I
brings more
weird
fruit.
Right. They don't normally do two, do they?
Oh no, they usually do.
Oh, they do. Okay.
So I'm praying that at least some of my picks come through.
Did you think?
I really wanted JPEG Mafia.
Okay,
he's a very talented rapper from the US. Who's done great things, and also people like Black Midi, who's a British band.
Definitely, okay. Yeah, Black Midi, awesome. Yeah,
Wise Blood, who's a talented woman as well. Those are just some of the people I was expecting, because usually they do bring a lot of those critically acclaimed artists, like Mitski, for example. Car Seat Headrest a couple of years ago, who
that's
done
right,
quite good things, and I was just quite surprised that they wasn't really any of those sorts of people.
Well, it seems to be much more Australian, New Zealand centric.
I have a word for it, but I don't know if I want to say what I think about it, just because.
Why not? This is the bad monkey. You've got to be bad.
It feels lazy.
It did feel a bit lazy and very un-Laneway-ish.
It feels, lazy and more pop, and obviously catering to that younger demographic, which I know I'm part of, but like.
And it was also
not what Laneway was supposed to be.
It was also very notable that usually they have a token oldies act, Slow Dive a couple of years
ago. That's right, yes.
And there was none of that this time.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway,
It's always big artists you've never heard of, is what I think about Laneway.
In a way.
Because Florence and the Machine were huge when I was in high school.
Right.
They're still amazing.
Tame Impala.
And bands like that were. They have fans, but they're not
massive.
Yeah,
they're not like on the Beyonce level.
Yeah, no. But they're still indie, right? So they're still indie.
They're still on that indie spectrum. I think the 1975 is leaning out of that indie spectrum. Now they're going a little bit.
I call these people Mindy X.
What is it?
Mainstream indie.
Ooh, and that's also very popular and sellable. Right
and
now.
The 1975 are right in that bracket.
Yeah,
that is their genre.
But Rufus Du Sol.
Oh, that's definitely not Laneway.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's some pop.
I'm thinking Rhythm and Vines, very much so.
Yeah,
because
right.
They played Rhythm and Vines, haven't
like,
they?
It's definitely for the George FM type crowd.
Yeah. Ouch.
Not the BFM crowd.
Definitely not the BFM. Yeah, well, there you go. We'll hope, we look forward to the second announcement.
I'm interested to see what the second one's going to be now.
Well, Chantel, you're going to be there in the camera instead of me, so I'm happy for you. I hope if we get approved. good. So now we are going to go back in time to a gig that I saw and I was not impressed. Bang.
Gonna make the time for me to come and get it, bless her mind. She spoke to me in such a simple and decisive tone. Her sweet admission left me feeling in position. I don't take these things so personal anymore. I don't think it's irreversible anymore. Somebody booted and they hollered, can I buy a vow?
Can I put my fingers in your mouth before you start to pop?
I don't think that it's so terrible anymore, anymore. I don't think that it's unbearable anymore.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. You might be surprised why this did not fail to connect with the Bad Monkey. They kind of played at Sparks, or where you would imagine they would be playing. And I chose this song, which they played at the gig, because I felt they were robots. I felt they were just robots performing these songs as they normally would. There was just no... Again, no spark at Spark.
Are they just collecting their nice pay junket?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I suspect there's some of that, because I feel that with Flea, Chad, you know, they get a lot more life out of playing with other projects, you know?
Yeah.
And Flea particularly, right? He collaborates with Damon and a few other people, even with Tom York as well, with Atoms for Peace. And I think, No, I mean, and it's the other thing, which I'm sure Red Hot Chili Pepper fans don't want to hear. It's this Klinghoffer versus Fusanti sort of thing, right? Which, you know, you either love or hate him.
Well, he's definitely not as good as John Frusciante.
Definitely not. And again, you know, John wrote those songs and those melodies in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
So you just... It must be really bad for him to copy it every time they play. You know, so I was not impressed. And again, also the crowd. The crowd was just massively drunk. And it's just those one of the things where you're sitting down, you're enjoying a gig, and you have a bunch of people that just sing songs that they want to sing other way and all that.
Oh,
California. Oh, I remember I had this group near to me who was singing Californication to every song that was played.
Oh, no.
And they were drunk as fuck.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And have you guys been to a lot of these gigs? I mean, drinking is a massive issue here, isn't it?
It is. Well, it is.
New Zealand's been drinking.
New Zealand crowds are very bad, I find. One of my pet hates is people who barge through to get to the front, even when it's already packed.
Yes.
If you want to get to the front, come early.
Yes,
don't
that's
barge
right.
through. You
yes.
know?
And they barge through with arms full of alcohol.
Alcohol. Yep.
Right.
I'm the opposite. I don't mind people barging through, but if you have a drink in your hand, stay at the back. Like, I don't want that on me. No one wants it on me. Also, you just paid like $12 for a beer and you just spilt half of it.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like $12 is really expensive for a drink and you just spilt it everywhere.
You just spilt $6 of your beer, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to go back now and barge all the way to fucking out.
Yeah, so he's got to barge back and they go back and forward. That happened at Casey Musgraves.
Yes, Casey Musgraves.
People barging through a country crowd with like four beers.
Which is unusual.
Bro.
Yeah, it's unusual. I mean, usually it's the hip-hop, it's rap crowds that tend to be quite rowdy.
Yeah, and not rowdy. You can be rowdy and respectful, but it's rowdy and like disrespectful.
Yeah. The thing I hate about hip-hop crowds is the young white kids shouting the N-word.
Just to be cool, right?
There's nothing more cool than that.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. This is so old. That's so passe. I mean, come on, get a fucking life, you know.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately, this alcohol issue hopefully will go away soon, because now we can't keep doing that. So now let's go a little bit underground, shall we?
Bye.
Alan Carr, and that's, I think, their latest single, Annual Leave. So why did they get on your low radar, Shawnee? Oh, tell us.
I feel bad, because I do really like them.
Okay.
And I think the music's really good.
Well, but relatively speaking, this is not saying they're bad. It's just relatively speaking, just failed to impress.
The performance was meh.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did they play? Where did you see them?
They played Whammy. So it was the show, I think, to promote this.
To promote
this single. And okay. They did a Japan tour.
That's right, they did.
So that was just before that. So it was like Carbon Carb and Friends. And there was like a 5 or 4 person lineup.
Okay.
Which was cool. It was at Whammy, and it was my first time going to Whammy.
Okay.
Everyone's always really surprised. It's because I'm not from Auckland, so I think that's the reason why.
Yes, this is when you kind of move up to Auckland.
So I started shooting the smaller venues.
Right.
And I was really excited because I think I was like, wow, Carbon Carb are really good.
Right.
Like, pop punk will live on sort of thing. Right. Hey. And so, but I just saw them and I was... One, Whammy's so strange with that pole. Like, I know why there's that, like, post there. It's to hold the ceiling up so that the building doesn't collapse. But, like, just, I wish you'd just put a steel beam across it and, like, just some structural, like, as an architectural designer, you can do that.
Right.
And and so there's no lighting on that side of the stage, which was fine for Carbon Carb, but some bands before.
Mm.
If I can't see you... the visual and the audio go together for me.
Right.
Like, I can't just sit at the back and close my eyes and just listen, because I can do that at home.
Right.
And listen to you on Spotify in my pajamas. But if I'm going out, I want to see and hear you. And then Carbon Carb, there was just no connection between, I don't remember their names, but the lead singer and guitarist, the girl, there was just no connection between her and the fans.
Okay.
And I could tell that the fans were really into it.
Okay.
Because obviously, like, New Zealand music fans do get really into it.
Yes.
And it was just like, they were just there. I couldn't really see the drummer very well. But, like, they're just there playing the songs, doing it, saying thank you in between each one, and then just sort of like me.
Sometimes I get the impression with the New Zealand bands that play at places like Whammy Bar that they do go through the motions because they're playing there every week.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just another gig at Whammy Bar.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just that, or maybe they were tired from all the... They'd been doing like a lot of PR for the Japan tour, like we'd interview them already and stuff. So I don't know if they were just tired, but also like you are here to do a job. Like, even when I'm tired at work, I still like try my best, and like, mean people at work might not say that, but that's fine. Especially if you've got fans who are into it,
right?
So they're giving energy to you. It was just didn't feel like they were giving anything back,
right?
And that give and take at a concert, especially something so small as Whammy, just like wasn't there. And I've never seen them play before, so
this is your first time,
I haven't seen them since, so I don't know if that was just a one off or if that's how they always perform. I don't know if it's awkward. Strange for her because she's playing a guitar and has to sing into the mic, which sometimes for me is a bit of an issue, but there are huge bands that deal with that. But I don't know.
I wouldn't actually love to see Carbon Carb play in a different venue.
Like,
I'm going back to what Sam said.
Agreed.
I've seen them a couple of times and they've always played at Whammy, right? And I like their wall of sound. I mean, for a two-piece, it seemed that there is this sound that's actually quite cool, and it's a driving sort of music. But it's interesting if they play it elsewhere to see if really they could carry it off.
It may be like tuning fork, maybe.
They had fantastic reviews from what I hear from the Japan tour. I mean, everywhere they played in Japan apparently were packed, and people really was getting into their sound, which I can understand
were they giving it back though?
Don't know. I can see maybe what you're saying, maybe she a bit more standoffish and just kind of doing her thing.
Maybe that's her, I don't know.
Maybe it's a thing,
maybe it was Whammy, maybe she was mad because the lighting was like kind of bad, I don't know.
But Whammy, just talking a little bit about Whammy, it's got its own unique sound.
It's a great venue for what it is.
It's
pretty much a dive bar.
Right.
Turn into a music venue. And I've seen some fantastic shows there. The sound is usually quite good. It's always got an energy about it. And it's just, it's quite a special place, yeah. I think.
No, totally, yeah. Totally. Okay, so we are going to go rush through a couple of other tracks here because we want to get through this list. So check this next one out by The Chills. Hit right there. I love my leather jacket by The Chills. So, you picked this one, Sam.
Yes, now why. This is nothing really, anything to do with Martin Phillips and The Chills' performance. It's just the venue was the big disappointing factor here.
Oh.
Because it was at the studio.
you got a hate thing going on.
My least favourite venue in Auckland.
Really?
Because the sound is appallingly bad. It always has been. And every show I've been there, the sound has always been bad. And... oh, I just wish they'd fix it.
Well, is it like that bad?
It is. Like, I'm sure it's great for drum and bass shows, yeah, or electronic, yeah, or dance music, anything with no vocals, basically. But if it's got vocals on it, it's just immediately, it becomes so muddy and everything just gets mixed into this big, awful mess. And I felt so bad for The Chills because it just did not work at all.
It's the vocals, I have to admit.
It is, it's the vocals.
It's the vocals, yeah.
And I was standing right at the front, so...
but the sound is supposed to be 12 rows back?
Even gigs I've been to, when I've been at the back, it's been just as bad.
Ooh, okay.
It was problematic for the others' way, because they put the three supposedly headlining bands, yeah, at this venue, Straight Jacket, Fits, and Blam Blam Blam, no. And I didn't go to the other two acts, because I just knew it was not going to improve.
Yeah. I must say that, shame, comparatively speaking, Straight Jacket Fits actually sounded better out of the three at the studio.
Okay.
And I don't know whether because Shane Carter doesn't really... I mean, he plays more than he sings, perhaps.
Hmm.
So the sound kind of felt a little bit better there, but I don't know. I mean, studio is a much more dancey club,
it is,
sort of music,
but they,
scene.
They do put a lot of hip-hop gigs there as well, and for me that's obviously... I go to a lot of hip-hop gigs, and
right,
it's a shame because I'm less keen to go to gigs there because I just know I'm going to be let down by the sound.
Oh, well, hopefully.
Such a shame, though.
I mean, how much does it cost to fix speaker systems and acoustics at venues, I wonder?
I don't know. I would think a fair bit.
I think the studio is quite a rich
worth
venue.
It. Worth it, though.
Comparatively
it'd
speaking.
It's worth it if you can actually hear the singer. At a show, I think it's worth it.
It makes a whole lot of difference if the sound's good.
Yeah.
Comparatively, I think you can hear the singer better at Galatos.
Galatos is a good venue for sound. Obviously, yeah, the power station is fantastic, Tuning right. Fork. But the studio, ooh.
Well, here we go. Next track, which is a surprising one, but I'm interested to know why. Minnie Simmons. Minnie Simmons, and they just released an album this year, and I believe this gig was at Galatos. So why did they fail to impress you, Johnny?
Well, so I can't 100% put my finger on what it was, but now that I just had an epiphany just before when the track started playing, that I think maybe the stage was too small.
Okay.
So the, I won't say outfits or costumes, like what they were wearing was very flowy, right. Very like loud and out there. And then there was, how many of them was there?
Four piece. Four, but they also have, I think, a keyboardist another guitar
so,
as well.
Yeah, so they had the touring extra band on there. And Galatos is a small stage.
It is.
And I feel like their music is more suited to a bigger stage where they could move and really like really give it their all without like right. tripping over each other, smashing each other with their, okay. which they were doing, but
so
like
they were so restrictive.
You could sort of tell that they were making sure that they were going to hit each other. Maybe they weren't, and maybe that was just like me overanalyzing it.
Right.
But it was, yeah, and also the crowd was just, like, super rude when I was, like, trying to leave after three songs. Because after the three songs, even if there is no rule, being a photographer, I automatically leave the front right. and go, like, to the stairs at Galatos or yes. the back, just hold my camera up and, like, hope for the best.
Right.
But, because I want to get an overall shot. But they were just, like, people just, like, wouldn't let me leave. And I'm like, can you, like, excuse me, am I coming through? Excuse me? And they're like, no.
Their crowds are known to be quite into it and sort of
at the
weird,
front, they were really into it. And right. there was a couple of people that I knew. And they, like, they were like, oh, like, do you want to go in front of us? Just, oh, like, cool. to get some shots. And that's how I got some of the lower
right.
ones. Because,
oh, yeah. nice.
Yeah, and I mean, I do my
so, who yeah. should they have opened for?
They should have opened for Greta Van Fleet instead of the Aussie surfer rock. Well, I wouldn't put the word rock after it, but the Aussie surfer band that opened for them at Logan Campbell. And I feel like that stage and that setup, like I feel like they would have maybe flourished a little
yeah.
bit more.
This was Alpha Bravo Golf or some
yeah,
iteration
just,
of that name.
Didn't really fit yeah. the vibe.
This is a theme I'm seeing, and I'm not liking it, is bands coming here on Australia New Zealand tours and bringing Australian support acts with them.
Yeah, so I, back in the day, I heard, like literally ages ago, that if you don't have a New Zealand support act, you have to pay $200 to who? I don't know. But someone told me that if you don't, I don't think that's true, because otherwise all these bands paying $200 to, not me, but like to someone.
Like you can find a good New Zealand act to support you. You don't have to bring in a terrible Australian band with you.
Exactly. And like of every genre, we like actually have good New Zealand bands. Like
yeah, exactly.
People are shocked, but like there is good New Zealand music
like, I saw,
if you look for it.
I saw Idols early in the year and Miss June opened for them. And that was great.
Oh, Miss June slaps live.
Oh yeah. I mean they are by yeah. they are a level by themselves, right?
Yeah.
But we do need to carry on because we don't have much time. But speaking of Aussie bands that come along on a New Zealand tour, here's another one. Latest single from Shiva and the Hazards. It's called Angkor Wat. And I think that sums it up.
What?
So, tell us, Sam.
Okay, so I went to Ride a few weeks ago and they were fantastic. But their opening act was an Australian band called Shiva and the Hazards. And they were terrible. And it was like you could pick a character from every Britpop band in history and put them in a band together and you'd get this band. Sound-wise and visually,
yes,
it was quite. Was I watching Liam Gallagher? I don't know. Was I?
Well, he tried to sound like Liam Gallagher, but he didn't dress like Liam Gallagher.
No, he looked like Serge from Kasabian, I thought.
Yes.
And the bass player looked like Nicky Wire from Manic Street Preachers. The drummer looked like Remy from the Stone Roses. And the guitarist looked like Noel Gallagher.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just total wild. Yeah, no.
And their sound was just, derivative, Britpop derivative, Oh my God, everything about it.
Yeah, and the mix was bad as well.
Yep.
I mean, they kept kind of finger pointing in different directions to try to get the mix, but no, yeah, that was pretty bad.
Probably the worst act I've seen this year, actually.
That's, that says a lot, because Sam has been to a lot of shows.
Real bad.
And I love Britpop. I'm not a hater, so
yeah.
Yeah,
no, totally. It's just too copy-y.
It was too very copycat. Derivative. And maybe it's an Australian thing, because there's another band that's called the DMAs, who are like Oasis as well.
Yeah.
I actually prefer them. They're not that bad, actually, but compared to this, oh dear.
This is bad. And speaking of another icon that failed to impress, well, this was one for me, Jaden Smith. No, you didn't do it, man.
Jaden Smith, icon. No, definitely not icon. There was nothing iconic about his performance when he opened for Post Malone at Spark. Again, maybe it's this whole mumble rap thing that just I don't get.
The kids love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Mm-hmm. Love
yeah,
it.
But even not his performance, space. Right? He's sort of like, you know, he was flaying his arms about and spinning around and walking about and just mumbling.
Well, mumble rap.
Yeah,
but yeah, there was no... he was, I think, intentionally trying to avoid the spotlight to begin with. You know, so... yeah, and it wasn't really clear. Again, vocals were muddy. And I was truly trying to get into the beat and everything, but no, it didn't.
I mean, if you listen to that track, the reason why he probably was mumbling is because it doesn't sound like he actually can sing. Because there's a lot of auto-tune on that
right.
He may be able to sing, I don't know, because I've never, can't hear him sing because he's mumbling.
That's right.
So.
That definitely didn't make it. And I mean, Post Malone, I know we have differing opinions here in the room about Post Malone, but I think his stage design for the last show he did in Spark was a bit weird. I mean, he had this kind of runway lights thing going on.
Yeah, I can't imagine him with a runway.
It didn't. Again, I use this, again, my own personal opinion. Yeah. He sounded like he was croaking into the mic. He might have had a bad night, but it didn't sound good.
I don't know, wasn't approved.
Ouch. So here's another one.
You closed the door on me lately, like you've got secrets to hold. How long can I keep waiting to know the things that you know?
Louis Baker, so low. Really low. Why did it reach your list?
Static.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In what way?
I mean, I haven't really been to as many gigs as everyone else. So this was like probably like a little bit of a reach.
This was Tuning Fork where?
Yeah, Tuning Fork.
Okay.
So, yeah, like sound wise, like I could hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was,
So he was just standing there.
Yeah, he was just standing because I can't remember if they had a full band. I should have looked. But yeah, he was just like standing there playing his guitar. He was smiling. Okay. Looked like he was having a good time, but it was just...
Lacking, huh?
Lacking. It was just,
How did this compare to Luana, who I think who opened for him? Because I know Luana from Hipstamatics and...
Yeah, so I never heard of either of them.
Okay.
I thought was much better than he was.
Right.
Which, like, happens a lot with openers. I think it does.
Okay.
Just because, you know. But she was really good, and maybe that's why... I thought he wasn't as good as it maybe he is, because she sort of outshone him a little bit during that.
Right.
Yeah, there's just...
Okay.
It was just... I thought it was really static.
Have you seen Louis Baker, Sam?
No, I have not.
Yeah, apparently he's like iconic, and I just didn't know.
He's kind of like the next big thing in New Zealand soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know who... I've heard of him, and I didn't realize that, though.
No, yeah.
Well, not like, maybe I pegged him. But I go back to Troy Kingy.
Troy, he's in another world.
Okay, yeah. So maybe I just don't know anything about this genre, and maybe I just also, like, maybe my mind just doesn't like this genre. Maybe that's what
I'm a big fan. I pump for Bailey Wiley big time as well.
You pump for Bailey Wiley?
She's the soul queen.
I don't even know who these people are, so I feel bad. But
I have to say, Bailey Wiley, yeah, she kicks ass.
She does.
Yeah, definitely better than what I hear here on the track. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see if Troy King is good then. I'll see.
Well, you
are you going? I'm going to that gig as well.
Mm-hmm. I think you will be. You will be very surprised.
He was my favorite artist at Others Way.
Yes,
it was out of this world.
Both of us. I would second that.
And just as an aside, I think they should do more gigs at Samoa House.
Yes,
that's a beautiful venue, and the acoustics are amazing. It's like an old whale.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they've got the carvings
and the big poles. It's really nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm surprised why they don't have more gigs there.
Maybe they
use that for more meetings and stuff.
I think it's because there's no bars. They can't serve alcohol.
Very true.
Probably.
Oh, we need a nice, underage...
Underage gigs, yes.
Underage gigs, yes.
Yeah.
Because we need more of those.
We do.
Give those younger kids a safe space, you know?
No, I definitely want to give a bit more love to Troy. I think Troy, his music has... there is a consistency, but there's also a diversity as well.
Well, he wants to make 10 albums in 10 genres, and so far he's succeeded in swing 3.
Okay, all right.
So his new albums are like a reggae album based around colonialism and stuff like that.
Right.
Okay. His previous album was like a space funk psychedelic exercise.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, no, it was brilliant. It's brilliant. So we have a couple of minutes just to kind of really go through what you are looking forward to for the rest of the year. Sam?
Well, I think my next gig that I'm looking forward to is Kumasi Washington.
Ah, yes, that's right.
He's incoming again.
At Power Station.
And I'm going to stay for the whole show this time, because last time I tried to do 2 gigs in one night.
Oh, no.
And I went and left Kumasi to go to Big Boy at the studio.
Yes, I remember you were doing that for me. Ah, yes.
But I'm looking forward to seeing him, because he's amazing. Amazing artist. Yeah.
I think Heaven and Earth, I think, was the latest, right?
Yeah. His album was amazingly good. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a couple of hip-hop shows coming up in December I'm kind of... got my eye on. An old school act from California called Diggable Planets are coming.
Okay.
And also a new act from Atlanta called Earth Gang, who just released a really good album as well. So I'm thinking about that.
Brilliant. And yourself, Chantel?
I'm just looking at my list because I have a terrible memory. There's kind of a lot of some New Zealand artists that I'm looking forward to seeing again, which is, not really like me, but... Yeah, like Devil Sin's playing tour.
Okay,
I've heard that their staging's going to be really, really good. The biggest yet. Open Side are finally doing some shows.
Excellent, yeah.
So that's good. I'm excited to hear their new stuff live because it's, a little bit, it's more, they've definitely grown as a band, so I'm excited to see what they're going to be like live.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sam and Johnny, for being on my show.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will definitely look out for more shows and welcome you back again. And to all our listeners out there, you stay well. Peace and love always. Ka kite anō. Looks like we got ourselves a Mexican standoff here, boy. And I ain't about to run. Put your gun down, boy. How did I get mixed up with this fucking monkey anyhow?